Good morning, everyone.
Morning, glory. Good morning, brother.
God is mightily moving by his spirit. You know, these lessons are good. You learn so many things. You know, at work, a lady named Brenda, she listened to the class on by the web. And one day she walked up and said, "We're in the Father's house." Not the whole
thing. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, we're in the Father's house.
She'll tell me what we said. You know, it's doing the will of God is fun. Candace was just talking about how much fun. It's exciting to go out doing what God gave you to do.
Amen.
You know, I like swimming. I like riding motorcycles. But there's, when I'm doing those broadcasts and making recordings and going to, that's fun too. That's more fun to learn from the Lord and learning his ways. And his secrets, it's just good.
It's mind blowing.
Yeah. It makes you sit back and just think a while. We made it to chapter 15 last week. We begin at verse 1 in chapter 15. Now, Paul and Barnabas and Silas, they were having great success wherever they went. And there was opposition. Getting people to shift, to transition into the knowledge of God is where your tribulation comes from, because people don't like change. They don't, especially if they are not trying to live according to God's ways. And the enemy, if their heart is hardened, then the enemy has. He has puppet strings on them, and he can manipulate them. So every time they went doing God's will, then the enemy deployed his property, his people that had no love for God. Okay, verse 1, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Now what they're saying is, okay, you say you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, and you also need circumcision. Now, circumcision never saved anybody. It was a symbol, just a symbol of the covenant. Okay, continuing, verse 2. "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria," I hope I'm pronouncing that right, "declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this other matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between them, between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith."
Yes.
So if the heart is purified, why fool with circumcision? A symbol of the old covenant.
Well,
when you have the new.
Too, he's going to do that. He's going to purify the heart. Circumcise
yeah.
the heart.
Circumcise the heart.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we get caught up in performance. If a person is doing all the performance duties, like going to church and paying tithes and things like that, if it's not from the heart, to God it's not real. It has to be from the heart. And then the performance is good. But they wanted them to do a performance that they could see. But the most important thing that happened to us is the rebirth by the blood of Jesus that made it legal for us to have a new heart. And that's what the old symbol was to help represent. Now we have a new heart, let's use it. We don't need the old symbols anymore. But Peter's going to straighten all this out. And he said, and he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken to me. Simon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take them out of them a people for his name. And to this agree with the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which among the Gentiles are turned to God. Now, I remember little Jim one Friday night was talking about the tabernacle of David, how the Gentiles will go to the tabernacle of David. And now it's restored. Gentiles are being saved. See, Gentiles couldn't go in the temple, but they could go in the tabernacle.
They had the outer court Gentiles.
Yeah.
You know, the same way when they built the temple and everything, it was the same way. Gentiles could only go so far, the outer court, that was it.
Yeah. And now they can come all the way in.
Right. Right. All the way.
And
they've been tore, baby.
And they're just like us. That's what he was saying. And I'm glad that that James gave him this Old Testament scripture. That helped. All right. And then verse 19 said, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornications and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. If they can at least do these things, that, you know, it goes back to the garden. There were two trees. We were supposed to select the tree of life and reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and abstaining from pollutions of idols, fornication, things strangled, and from blood. They were rejecting the world. If they could at least do that, they're in. And you know, everything we do, all the good things we do, if it's from the heart, God receives it. If a person pays tithes and it's not from the heart, they gave a donation, but God didn't receive it as he would a person that did it out of his love, the love of God from his heart and with faith. All donations help, but when God receives it, he's looking at the heart. Whatever we do, the things that we should do, we do it from the heart, the Lord receives it, and we have fellowship with him. We can ask what we will; it'll be done unto us. But if sometimes people put more emphasis on the performance and miss the point, and the Lord, he doesn't change. If it's not from the heart, then it's not the same as if it's from the heart. The Lord is always looking at the heart. And he inhabits our praise and worship when it's from the heart. Even if you can't sometimes you can be worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and you may not feel his presence, but that doesn't mean he's not there.
Exactly true.
You just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's there.
Yep.
And you'll be surprised at some of the breakthroughs you receive, the knowledge you receive.
I'll tell you something else too. Okay, whenever you can be just feeling rough, just having a rough day, and you start talking about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Just start talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, everything reverses.
Yeah.
Man, you just get on fire for God.
Yeah.
It happens 100% of the time.
100% of the time. And I like what Ray said last week, you know, just before you believe in God for something, then things go worse. You know, but then you just keep doing it, because faith, if you don't turn your faith off, it went worse because the enemy is trying to get you to turn the switch off and go back to normal.
Amen.
Go back to the world's way of lack and, you know, this and survival mode. But keep on believing God. We got rain this week.
And we're
going to get some more rain this week.
Right. That's exactly correct. Right.
And we're going to get all the rain we need.
Soaking rains.
That's right.
Yeah.
Soaking
yeah.
rains.
Why? Because your faith is on.
Come on. We're speaking it out right now.
You don't need to see a cloud in the sky.
That's right.
Your faith, as long as it's on, it's got to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith is greater than the clouds and the rain.
Greater than all of
it. It's got to happen. That's just the way it is.
Man.
It's in healing, it's just as easy as picking fruit. As long as you keep your faith on, just keep it on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't turn it off.
Yeah.
You may feel pain. Keep the faith on. Praise God while you're waiting and just have a good time. It's got
love.
To happen.
Yeah.
Love.
Everybody.
It all go, and you know, this week, I was talking earlier about Isaiah chapter 58, and it brought, when you study that scripture, it displays the heart of God, what God is after, what he's about, and it helps you to reposition all of your motives to be like his. When that's in place, you're abiding in him, and then as you receive the words, it helps you to abide in him. I've asked the Lord a lot of things and that I want to know. And the time that I had greater success was when I said, I'm going to learn this. I said, I don't know how I'm going to learn it. I don't know what the Lord's going to tell. But I asked him my question, and I believe him for the answer. And I determined. I said, I'm going to learn it, and I'm going to do it. And every time I did that, he taught me something that I needed to know. And then I incorporated it in my life. Now, one thing that started all this, after he taught me about love, I said, Lord, I want to be in your presence. Just like when I'm in the prayer room in your presence, I want to be like that when I'm out there working or wherever I go in life. And, you know, the pastor at that time said, well, you got to come down from the mountain. You can't live up there on the mountain. I didn't believe it. I said, there's a way to do it, and I'm going to find out. I determined to find out how to do it. Now, learning that was... It didn't just happen all at once. As I learned principles, I found myself rejoicing, just like when I'm in the prayer room while I'm at work or wherever I go. In challenges, I'm still at peace. I found myself in peace when I would normally be in a challenge. And as I learned to love, and as I learned, he taught me how to destroy temptations. It all worked together. So when you're linked with God, his heart, and you see things like him, whatever you learn, you incorporate in your life, and it makes everything easier. All right, we made it to verse 22.
And I'll tell you this too, ever since I started confessing that I am his righteousness, I am the righteousness of God, all the time, okay,
mm-hmm.
things don't upset me.
Yeah.
See, sin is getting irrelevant now.
Yeah.
I understand what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Now, see.
And you find yourself living in peace when you normally would have been very upset, falling apart. Oh, we'll close. Dear Lord, I thank you for your wisdom.
Yes,
I thank you for all your mighty blessings, your patience with us. Help us to go forward in you.
Glory to God.
Help us to know you.
Yes,
those that know God will do the exploits. Help us to do great exploits, needed exploits in Jesus' mighty name.
Bless you.
And help us to do all that's in your heart in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.